Hey, so we are here today with Petra Cardoso from University of Helsinki and the Finnish Natural History Museum. Did I get that right? Luomus in Finnish?
Yes, Finnish Museum of Natural History. Yes,
Yes,
almost.
great. And Petra is our special expert on global red listing of species. Okay, let's speak about red list assessors and their skills, needed skills. There are many experts involved in compiling the global red list of threatened species, and they are called assessors since they, assess the threat status of species. And typically the assessors are volunteers, but it is not enough just to be willing to participate in red listing. So Petro, tell us what is needed from an assessor.
Yes, well, first, they are volunteers, so we need their time.
Obviously.
That's the most important. You gotta have before committing to assess a species, you gotta know that it will take time. And it's not only for the assessment itself, but then it will go through the entire process. It will be reviewed in the red list unit. So this there are a few people which will check all the assessments that will give you some feedback. Then you might have to change something. So the entire process can take up to 2 years until a species is listed. So you gotta have this time available, even if occasionally. Then you gotta be an expert or at least quite knowledgeable on the species you are assessing, so that you're not committing errors just because you're missing the necessary information, because you didn't realize that in fact there is some project ongoing with the species that already has lots of data that you can use, or maybe you don't know that much about the species' ability to disperse to new habitats, and you'll miss some of the information to know if the species might be the population might be fragmented or not. So you gotta have a good knowledge on the species, and finally. You have to really know how to apply the criteria, and that takes time. There is an official course I've been teaching for several years, which is a minimum of 2 full days, just to understand all the nuances, the concepts, how to apply the different criteria, the different thresholds, and so on. Because some of the concepts will be quite unique to the red list, so they won't be like the concept of fragmentation. It's different from what we are used, even if we are biologists, or the concept of fluctuations. It's also quite unique. The concept of what is a location, for example, it's always a big mess. To know what is a location, and it's not a locality; it's a completely different thing. So there are many things that you have to learn before being able to apply the criteria. So yeah, it takes time, and even after the course, it probably will take, I don't know, 20, 40, 100 assessments until you are really fluent with the language and the process. It takes practice then, even after doing the course.
It is true that IUCN offers a specific training for assessors, and there's a wide range of different documents and guidelines and brochures and stuff that an assessor should educate him or herself with. And these online courses that are found from conservation training website can like function as a starting point. And this website is maintained by the Nature Conservancy. So when you have been training your assessors, how have you utilized these online courses, or have you sort of modified the contents of teaching by yourself?
We have our own material for the course, for the on-site course that we use, because I'll say the online and the on-site course are complementary. You should do both, and they give sort of different perspectives, but the main point is that all the small details sometimes are missed on the online course, and there are many doubts. So the online course is made in a way that it almost assumes that you have all the data. And when you go to the reality of assessing a species, then you often don't have all the data. Or the data is in a format that it's not really directly usable in the criteria. So you have to think how to modify the data, how to use it, how to take it into account the uncertainty of the data, and so on. So in the end, it's almost a case by species by species. Each species will have its own problems, and the online course, of course, it's not possible to ask someone with experience. This is not really the data I have. I have this kind of data. What should I do with that? And then the online course won't help in that regard. Then you got to have an experienced assessor with you to ask, okay, what shall I do with this? Often even the experienced assessor will say, okay, I have no idea, but we'll work on that. We'll try to figure out something. How can we play with this data so that it makes sense and that we can use it. Having this person that we can really guide you during the course and during the first assessment, it's really, really crucial. Without that, I'll say that you risk missing many of the little nuances of how to apply the criteria.
Yes, and it is, of course, the reality that the assessments are done in collaboration, so no one is required to do them by themselves alone.
No. Usually it's within the specialist groups, so you'll have help from other volunteers. And also you'll have the help from the Red List unit, which are these, I don't know how many they are. Last time I counted, there were three or four only in Cambridge, sitting in this nice building, that will try to help you as much as possible. And they're really good in what they're doing. So they really try to help you as much as possible. But there will always be this feedback. They'll come back to you. Maybe you have to modify this, and then you have to send again the assessment and so on until it's according to the best practices.
Yes. So this is actually like a big system of people working together and educating themselves to do the assessments in the best possible way. And here, when we are talking about these nature under threat courses that we are working at the moment, so these courses include the same basic information than the first three modules in the conservation training online course package. But there are certain differences in the scopes of the courses. So the conservation training course package, which is like the official IUCN online material, that focuses strictly on the Red List categories and criteria, and it goes into details on how to apply the Red List criteria, but not perhaps within a species group, as you clearly said. So there you need that peer support and the mentoring from the more experienced assessors. And then these nature under threat causes introduce the red list categories and criteria. But on these causes, we also discuss more broadly on the conservation applications and the context in which the knowledge and information on endangerment is applied, and also the context in which red listing is done. So we get a peek into the practical world of assessing threats to species and ecosystems. So on these courses, we sort of dig deeper into biodiversity loss and the practices of conservation, as well as we explain the ecological theories behind the methods of red listing.
It's really something that we usually don't have time during the official course, is to go through, because there is so much to say about the just the red listing process, that we don't go through all the theory and all the and all the story behind the extinction of species and all the implications also on what you can do with then when the species is, okay, now the species is assessed, it's endangered, what can I do with this, will it be useful for anything or not. So all this, usually it's not really it's not, at least not deep, not, doesn't go into detail in the official red listing course, and that's a big advantage of this course, that of this you are running, you go through everything outside the strict red listing process, which is really important.